Chicago trial attorney Karen Conde. Karen, good morning. Let's talk about the Mark Meadows case. The ex-chief of staff for Donald Trump was granted immunity and apparently told the special counsel that he warned Donald Trump about the 2020 election claims. What's the difference between immunity and a plea deal?
Well, immunity means that the government can't use anything that he says against him and prosecute him for it, or any evidence derived from what he said. So he, as long as he's telling the truth, the government cannot prosecute him for the words that come out of his mouth. A plea deal is when you plead guilty to something and in exchange for, whatever it might be. So this is not, from my understanding at this point, he's not pleading guilty to anything. He's just getting immunity for his truthful testimony.
So what will this mean for Special Counsel Jack Smith's case?
I mean, it's great. I mean, if somebody who's close to Donald Trump says, you shouldn't do this, you didn't win the election, you shouldn't do this, it's not legal, I advise against it, that is just going to be another peg in this whole thing, which is going to be, and as you see, all these cases, people are going to be pleading guilty in exchange for testimony against Donald Trump, saying that we knew that this was not a legitimate legal maneuver and that we were acting on behalf of President Trump's dictates. And so, no, I mean, the more people who fall down here and testify against Trump, the better for the prosecution, of course.
Michael Cohen was testifying yesterday in the civil fraud trial, and I didn't see the reports on the cross-examination, but I imagine with Cohen's background, I mean, he did do jail time, and so as a lawyer, would you question his reliability, his credibility? How is that going to play?
When you have someone up the stand who served jail time for numerous violations of the law, that's your first question on cross-examination. So you're a felon. So you got disbarred. So you committed every single crime. You were a tax evader. You were this, that, and the other thing. And that's what you do as a lawyer when you're defending somebody. On the other hand, the prosecution should and probably will make the argument, listen, if you think Michael Cohen is a sleazeball, it's because Donald Trump chose him. We didn't choose him to come here. He was Trump's lawyer. And so basically you can throw that right back in the face of the defendant.
Back to the election fraud case. Jenna Ellis has got a plea deal, and she mentioned in her statements that she relied on what other attorneys told her, and she acknowledged this was a mistake. Is that a defense that you got bad legal advice?
Well, she's a lawyer herself, so she's been through 4 years of college and 3 years of law school. And the law in almost every state for an attorney is that you have to do some due diligence, right? So if, like, Bob, you came to me and with your running shoes on and say, a CTA bus ran over my foot, and you go off jogging and you want me to file a lawsuit, well, I would have some due diligence there. I'd say, well, let me see your hospital record. Or let me see an incident report, because I'm not sure you're telling me the truth. There is some due diligence. So she can't just blindly rely upon even what Donald Trump said to her. She's got to do a little bit of research to make sure that what she's doing is appropriate. Now, that being said, she's a young lawyer, and she's around a lot of powerful people. She got carried away on this. But again, that doesn't excuse her conduct, and she's really going to pay for it greatly.
Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, Ken Chesbrough, all lawyers. How unusual is this for attorneys to get in this kind of situation?
It's pretty unusual in that, I always feel like, I may have 60 clients at any given time. And I think to myself, I would never cross that line for any one of them, because my law degree and my law license allows me to make a living, and why would I compromise my integrity for one client? But when you're working for one powerful client like Donald Trump, who's charismatic, who believes what he's saying, I see what's going on here. These lawyers are getting caught up in it, and they energize each other. the false statements get made. They all believe them, and it's like a snowball. And unfortunately for them, it's going to cost them their law licenses. I don't know, not on a permanent basis, but you know, they cross the line ethically, and that's just a sad thing for them.
Now, we heard a while back that Donald Trump's lawyers would have an advantage with all these defendants coming into court and going on trial early before Donald Trump does, because they would get a preview of the prosecution's case. But if they're all taking a plea deal, then they don't get any information, do they?
No, they don't. And it's just going to be interesting, because Trump could, if his lawyers take this route, could say, listen, all of those lawyers who were advising me all pled guilty. Look at them. They did something wrong. So I was relying upon attorneys who did wrong, you know, took bad actions. And so you can't blame me, because I was relying upon the advice of my attorney. Now, Donald Trump doesn't really take anyone's advice, but he stood out a couple days ago and said Sidney Powell, one of the lawyers who pled guilty, she wasn't my lawyer. She didn't represent me, which to me, he shouldn't have done that, because he just blew his defense, which is I relied upon a fraudulent attorney. So I don't know. It's very hard to represent somebody like Donald Trump, who is, you know, going to go out and say whatever he wants to say, regardless of how it affects his defense.
That's why you lawyers always advise your clients to just be quiet, right?
Absolutely. it's a moving target with him, and I think it would be one of the hardest things in the world to represent someone like Donald Trump.
Finally, there's a case. A family is suing Panera Bread after their 21-year-old daughter passed away after drinking what's called charged lemonade. That's an energy drink. So is the restaurant responsible here, the manufacturer of the drink? Who's liable?
Well, I think the allegations here are she had an underlying condition, and it's called long QT, and it has to do with irregular heartbeats. So she stayed away from energy drinks, but her contention here and her family's contention is that this was called lemonade. It was called plant-based and clean. It didn't say, according to this lawsuit, hey, this is energy drink. This has super caffeine and guarana extract and all those things that get you, you know, that affect your heart and your blood pressure. Had she known, had it been properly labeled, she never would have, you know, had it. So I think that's more of the problem here. And, you know, energy drinks cause, you know, approximately 20,000 people a year to go to the ER. Not many deaths all in all, but still, it's a problem. And as long as it's labeled, I don't think we're going to have lawsuits against these energy companies. But when you're in a restaurant, you should know what you're drinking, and it should be properly labeled.
A lot of caffeine in those drinks. We appreciate the legal counsel here in the morning, as always. Thank you, Karen Conti.
Have a good week.
You too.